Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. I apologize for the dropout in the previous segment, but since I am broadcasting live from the bowels of the tram building at Snowbird, Utah, it's not, I guess, a surprise that the internet may not always work. I actually see the bright red 12-foot in diameter wheels that power the tram. Anyway, it is time for Therapy Talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who's a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents. And she, in fact, was my co-host or guest last week at Dad Chat, where we talked about drugs and drinking and our kids. She is about to be a first-time mom in, I think, 4, 5, or 6 weeks. She'll give me the update. And I think it would probably be worthy to continue the dialogue we had at Dad Chat about the issues and problems that parents and kids and teens face with drugs and drinking. So welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Thank you for having me. And it is the official 5-week countdown.
Okay, so give me the health and welfare of both baby Bruce and yourself.
Baby Bruce is doing phenomenal. I am convinced that she has the strongest legs of any baby on the planet as she continues to kick and beat up my rib cage. But I know that she's very healthy and she's very strong. And I am doing as good as can be expected. You know, I'm happy and I'm very uncomfortable. And I think that's probably where every woman is at 35 weeks, happy and uncomfortable.
Well, I'm glad that it's preceded, the uncomfortable is preceded by happy. Now, more importantly, how's Dad doing?
He's doing well. He's definitely helping to get ready for her arrival. We went and did the baby registry over the weekend. And we both went together with his sister who guided us through the process because that place is so overwhelming. We were there for 7 hours, including a lunch break. And we still didn't finish registering.
Are you getting a super-powered, high-end, exotic baby stroller?
We are getting a super-powered, high-end, exotic baby monitor because Jason's a tech guy. He loves all that technology stuff. And he wants one that he can hook up to his phone and has all these cool features on it that I probably won't be able to know how to use. And so that's our high-tech gadget.
You mean Miss Smartphone doesn't know how to use gadgets?
You know, I'm going to get one. I'm going to have it by the time she comes.
You keep on threatening us. So last week we did have a very powerful dad chat. It was actually very awkward for me because I don't know if you realized that my son was participating and he was in one of those crazy moods where crazy is the operative word, where he was pretty stark in his opinions about drugs and drinking, even though he's not doing much that I'm aware of right now, but he has sadly experimented a lot with drugs and drinking. So it was a very odd and interesting and a little frustrating chat for me. But what were the issues that struck you as relevant and important enough to continue the dialogue on our show?
Yeah, and to let you know, at the time during the chat, I did not know that particular Twitter handle was coming from your son. And so I was just hearing it as someone who's being open and honest about his own experimentation during his teen years. And, of course, there are a lot of parents in the chat room who were either in the process of preparing for the conversation because it's coming around the corner or in the midst of it themselves. And, you know, it's an overwhelming thing to talk about, I mean, for parents to have to talk about with their children. And so what I wanted to go over today was just ways that parents can prepare themselves for that conversation so it can go as smoothly and as effectively as possible.
So please, yes, tell us. The conversation, of course, not being the birds and the bees, but the conversation about safety regarding drugs and drinking.
Yeah, and, you know, there's so many things now parents have to talk to their kids about that they didn't have the experience of. You know, we talked about last week with sexting, and, you know, there's all sorts of things now, and drugs and alcohol is something that we've all had experience with in our own teen years, but it's very different now. And so one of the things that I think is always really important for parents is to know who your teenager's friends are. And if you can, their parents too. It gives you a better sense of what's going on in their world. can give you more understanding of what their world is like and the influences that they're surrounded by. So if your house is the house that everyone likes to hang out in, that's a really good thing because it helps you keep an eye on things. When it comes time to having the talk, don't wait until they're already immersed into that world to start talking about drugs and alcohol, because the statistics show that boys have their first drink by age 11 and girls by age 13. So if you're waiting until middle school to start talking about these things, then they've already probably been exposed to it in some way outside of your home. And it's always much better if their first exposure to this topic is coming from you. So having these conversations early, but then again, having them in age-appropriate ways, you know, share, not scare. So anytime you hear stories on the news or you're watching a TV show and there's a scene that you think is relevant to the conversation or a movie or a song lyric, it's such a good opportunity to begin the conversation. And you just ask an open-ended question like, what do you think of that? Mm-hmm. And then listen, and just listen to what they have to say. They love the feeling of being valued for their opinion and respected for their opinion. Anytime you just kind of launch into a lecture or a speech, you've lost them. They're tuning you out. They're not really hearing what you're saying. But if you ask an open-ended question and listen without interrupting, you can usually get a lot of information that way, and then it becomes a back and forth dialogue. I think
now, just so I'm clear, the idea, of course, while you're doing this, you have a martini in hand and you're puffing on a joint, right?
Yeah, modeling came up a lot in the Twitter chat room last week of how to set a good example or how not to set a good example, and that would probably be a bad example to set. For sure. I think a lot of parents struggle with staying calm during these kinds of conversations, especially if we're not talking about hypotheticals, we're talking about something that actually happened. You know, I think staying calm is one of those things that we say all the time and we hear all the time, but it's like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to stay calm, but then we often don't. And, you know, it's not just about not getting angry. It's about the face that you're making. It's about your body language. You know, a lot of us don't have a poker face, so the judgment, the disapproval, you know, all of that is evident in the body language. And teenagers are so sensitive to that. If they smell that, even for a second, they're not going to share as much and they're not going to be as open. So it's really important that as much as you can, that you're being open and calm during the conversation.
Let me stop you for a minute. I completely agree. But actually, I made the joke about parents drinking while they're, or smoking dope while they're advising their kids about the dangers of drinking and drugs. But in all seriousness, let's say, you know, like my wife and I love to have a bottle of wine or a glass or two of wine with dinner. So what are the, you know, if you have young kids, are you not supposed to drink? Is it a bad idea to have drinking in healthy moderation in the home?
That was such a popular question last week on Twitter. It was like, you know, am I supposed to model abstinence? Am I supposed to do this in secret? And the answer is that would be ridiculous. If you model that alcohol can be a healthy and appropriate part of your life, but there's a way to use it and a way to not use it, that's actually a better message than to not show them at all whatsoever. So if you're having a glass of wine with dinner, that's a completely different scenario than if you come home from a hard day of work and say, that was such a hard day, I need a glass of wine. Because what you're teaching in that moment is, I use alcohol to regulate my emotions.
That's a hugely important distinction. Now, What about marijuana use? I mean, it's so pervasive now, and it's legal in two or three of our states. So what if a young couple likes to use marijuana? I mean, can you show proper use of marijuana and then ask your kids not to? Or if you use marijuana, you have to assume that your kids will at a certain age. I mean, that this particular drug, which is on the forefront of so much debate, is I think, really more confusing. I totally get the drinking thing. But what about marijuana?
It's so important to educate yourself and educate your child about marijuana, because what you don't want to do is send the message that it's safe and it's okay, because the THC, which is the active ingredient in pot, is 5 times more potent now than it was 20 years ago. And you're also seeing a lot of additives being put into pot when kids buy it. So to say that, okay, I'm going to model for them that it's okay and it's safe, when you don't know if your children are getting it from an inappropriate source, if they're putting things in it that are actually harmful. So whatever you choose to do and model for your children, just make sure you're giving them the ability to make informed decisions. It's the same thing with sex. It's like, well, if I give my kid a condom, does that mean I'm saying it's okay to have sex? Well, not necessarily, but you are teaching them how to make smart choices and to keep themselves safe. So it's the same thing with drugs and alcohol.
I think the sex thing is clearer and a little bit more easy. We don't expect our parents, as much as it's a horrible thought to imagine our parents having sex. Most kids think their parents had sex the number of times that they have siblings, period.
Mm-hmm.
But the marijuana thing is much more confusing. If you're living in a state where it's not legal, which at present is most of the states, that's got to be a really confusing thing to model. Now, on the other hand, the argument for legality is exactly the risk factor that you talked about, where if it's legal and it's licensed and regulated, then we know you go to a pot shop in Colorado and they have 27 varieties and you know there aren't additives. You're getting it legally and you're getting it safe. So that risk factor is a little different.
Yeah. And, you know, you also want to make sure that there's appropriate boundaries in a household between you and your children. If you're doing things as if you're one of them, then that's not an appropriate boundary. Whereas if you would rather them, and a lot of parents, before their kids go off to college, want them to have some sort of drinking experience in the home before they go away, because it's like, okay, I want you to know what it's like. I want you to know what it feels
like before
you're safe. So you have to make appropriate choices, but you want to make sure that the boundaries are in place. You're not the teenager. You're the parent.
All right, we got to run out. We are out of time. I've gone over again. Thank you so much, Dr. Werberman. Where can our listeners find you?
The new website, which I emailed to you the link, is transformationstherapycenter.com.
I didn't get that email. Send it again.
You'll get it too. Okay, great. I'll send it again. And then the blog is theparentingplayground.com. On Facebook, we have a page under the same name. And on Twitter, it's dr_Weberman.
Thank you so much. Hope to see you at Dad Chat tonight. Listeners, stay tuned for a very quick wrap-up after these messages.